Well, the other day it read, a plane carrying 55 passengers circled an airport in western Scotland for a half an hour while the air traffic controller had lunch. The officials at the airport on the island of Benbecula in western Isle of Scotland apologized Monday for the incident, which took place last Friday, but blamed it on a shortage of air traffic controllers, of which they have only one. The Times newspaper said that there had been an uproar in the terminal building as families watched the plane from Glasgow linger in a holding pattern tantalizingly within view. It had left Glasgow 25 minutes late and had finally touched down in Benbecula 55 minutes late after the controller returned to his radar screen. You know, life can be like that sometimes, can't it? Like you're stuck in a holding pattern. You ever felt like that in your spiritual life? You're just circling around and around and just can't seem to land where you need to be. You know, when I became a Christian at the age of 21, I experienced an incredible change in my life. I mean, it was pretty drastic. And to this day, and it's been, let me see, I was 21, I'm now, it's been a long time, okay? I've been saved longer than I've been not saved, let's put it that way. To this day, when I talk to my uncle about it, he still cries. He says, I just, you know, what God did in your life was so incredible. He says, I continually use you in my Sunday school class as I share with people what the Lord did. But it seemed like I'd been thrown into a rushing stream, like I was just swept away. Things were happening so fast. I was learning new things every day, and my relationship with God was advancing at an incredible pace. I'd become a totally new person. And the most profound change was a sense of God's presence that followed me everywhere I went. I mean, I'd wake up in the morning with a sense that God loved me, that I was right with Him, that I was in the center of His will and all was well in my world. Then, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I didn't sense God's presence as I had before. Suddenly there seemed to be a distance between us. Where before His presence was so real to me, now it seemed rather distant. Where before I had felt a zeal and an enthusiasm, now my heart felt cold. There must be something wrong, I thought. There must be something wrong with me. God's feelings for me must have changed, or I wouldn't feel this way. And the longer I've been a Christian, the more I've realized how common this experience is. You go through times when you experience the highs of the mountaintop. Then you go through times when you face the lows of the valley. And it doesn't happen just once. It happens again and again throughout the course of our lives. And the thing that's important for us to realize is even during the valley lows, God's presence in our life is just as real as it is during the mountaintop experiences. Gary, that sounded a little loud to me. In fact, during the times we're going through the valley, when we don't feel God's presence, we have an opportunity to grow really by leaps and bounds in our Christian walk, because these are the times when we learn to walk by faith. Regardless of how you feel, it doesn't change the fact that God is always there. And you can live in His presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Practicing the presence of God in our life is not a feeling we depend on. It's a faith that we live by. A pastor once said, in the Christian life, your feelings will go up and down and will sometimes run hot or cold. You cannot be driven by your feelings. Faith has to be the engine of your Christian life. It is faith that drives you forward. And that's true. We all like those feelings of, you know, enthusiasm and excitement and zeal. But they're not always there. This is a lesson that King David learned. He went through times when he just didn't feel the presence of God. One good example of this is found in Psalms 13. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 13. I hope you brought your whole Bible with you, not just the New Testament. Psalm 13. And we're just going to look at that this evening and see what truths we can glean from it. Psalm 13, verse 1. David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? David wrote Psalm 13 at a time in his life when it seemed like everything had fallen apart. Saul the king was jealous of David's popularity, and for years he had been trying to kill him. David had been able to avoid death, but he had to leave behind his closest friend Jonathan, who happened to be Saul's son. Ultimately, David found himself desperate and feeling very alone. He learned, however, that our depression is God's opportunity. And when we are at our wits' end, that's when we most really see God work in our lives. The problem is, however, that before God begins to deal with our situation, He wants to deal with us. When we want Him to fix our complication, He wants to form our character. When we want Him to change our circumstances, He wants to change us. This doesn't mean God isn't interested in our problems. It means that God is interested in long-term solutions. He doesn't want to treat the symptom. He wants to treat the illness. Look at Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt, where did God go? Have you ever felt like God has forgotten you? We know He hasn't gone anywhere. We know He hasn't forgotten us. But at times, we feel that way. To feel forgotten by God is a terrible feeling. I hope you never feel this way. But the fact is, if you haven't yet, you probably will at some point in your Christian life. Jeremiah felt forgotten by God when he lamented the Jewish captivity. In Lamentations 5:20 through 22, he says, "Why do you forget us forever? And forsake us for so long a time. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us." You know, there's going to be times in your life when God seems far away. And living in His presence 24/7 seems like nothing more than a fading memory or a distant dream. When that happens, you have the opportunity to become closer to God than ever before, because this is the time in your life when you really will learn to walk by faith, not by feelings. Today we're going to take a closer look at Psalm 13, which teaches us what to do when God seems far away. David wrote this psalm when he was going through an emotional valley, yet he continued to find strength and direction in his faith in God. So what should you do when you feel like God has forgotten you? Well, first of all, tell God about your problems. Tell Him all about your problems. You don't have to read this Psalms for very long to discover that David freely poured out his heart to God whenever he wanted to. In fact, sometimes he almost sounds impertinent. In verse 1 and 2, he says repeatedly, "How long? How long? How long? God, have you forgotten me?" This is David's way of saying, "Lord, can you hear me? I'm trying to get through to you." Sometimes we think there are subjects that we can't discuss with God. You know, we know that God wants us to worship Him, but we feel, how can I tell Him how I really feel when I'm so angry towards Him? We know God wants us to praise Him, but we feel, how can I tell Him that I really feel let down by Him? We know that God wants us to trust Him, but we feel, how can I tell Him that my faith is running out of steam? We know that God wants us to be joyful, but we feel, how can I tell Him that I feel anything but joyful? You know how ridiculous these feelings are when we consider that Matthew 6:8 says, "Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them." David didn't hesitate to tell God exactly how he felt. And David isn't the only one in Scripture who cried out to God boldly. Moses did, Job did, Isaiah did, Paul did, Jesus did. They all told God exactly what was on their heart, even though it wasn't very pleasant. You know, God knows anyway, so there's really no use in trying to hide your feelings. It's much better to tell God exactly where you are and what you're feeling. Be honest with Him. You find solutions when you share your problems with God. This is the key to overcoming the feelings that God has forgotten you. Share your problems with Him. Tell Him really what you're feeling. David felt that God had forgotten him. He felt abandoned. He felt forsaken. And we may feel abandoned at times in our lives, but that doesn't mean that we have been abandoned. Regardless of how you may feel, God knows what He's doing. He has an end result in mind. We may not be able to see the big picture, but God can. And when you feel that God has forgotten you, you can also ask Him for help. Ask God for help. Look at Psalm 13, verse 3. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." After David finished pouring out his heart to God, he turned to thoughtful, rational prayer. In other words, he just was kind of, "God, where are you?" And then he begins to focus on prayer and ask for God's help. He had been so overwhelmed by emotion that he actually was afraid it was going to take him to an early grave. But David refused to let his emotions get the best of him. Instead, he nailed them to a powerful truth. He called upon God saying, "O Lord my God." And in the Hebrew, this phrase reads, "Jehovah my Elohim." These are both names for God. Jehovah means the God of promise. And Elohim means the God of power. And by calling upon God as Jehovah my Elohim, David was saying, "God, I believe that you have the power to keep your promises." You see, years earlier when David was a young man, Samuel the prophet had anointed David to be the next king over Israel. According to the word of God, David would rule Israel. There was nothing Saul could do about it. By asserting his belief in the power of God's promise, David nailed his emotions to the word of God. And he began to see things in a different light. True and honest prayer always moves us closer to God. David later penned these words in Psalm 34:17: "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles." You know, there are times when we feel God has abandoned us. And when we face those times, we should tell God exactly how we feel. And like David, we should ask God to give light to our eyes so we can see the situation from His perspective. Then the situation won't look so hopeless and we won't feel so hopeless. Do you remember the story of Elijah and the circumstances he found himself in? The Syrian army had surrounded the city of Dothan to do away with the prophet Elijah. And when Elisha's servant saw the army, he was alarmed and he was afraid. But Elisha assured him that those who were on his side were more than those of the Syrians. The problem was he didn't see anybody on their side. And so Elijah prayed and asked God to open his servant's eyes. In 2 Kings 6:17 it says, "And Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." This heavenly host had surrounded them, outnumbering this pagan army, but he couldn't see him. So Elisha prayed and asked God to open his eyes. And isn't that what you and I need sometimes? We need spiritual sight to see the circumstances and the complications and the bigger picture as God sees them. As David prayed for God to show him, he began to see that God was aware and in control of the circumstances that he found himself in. In Psalm 123, verse 2, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of the maid to the hand of the mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord, until he has mercy on us." As we focus our attention on God in prayer, we'll begin to recognize that even though we can't see everything there is to see, God can and He is in control. We know Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. When we share our heart with God, we begin to find solutions. And there's a third step we see here to take when we feel that God has forgotten us, and that is to trust in God's faithfulness. Look at verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 13. He says, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." The New American Standard reads it this way in verse 5, "But I have trusted in your loving kindness." You know, some people may wonder how David could swing so swiftly from gloom to gladness. The secret is found in the fact that he shared his problems with God. And then he focused his heart on God and his perspective began to change. Let me share with you three things that will help you to trust in His faithfulness no matter how you feel. First of all, assume God's presence and do what you know you should do. Assume His presence. Psalm 13:5 says, "But I have trusted in your mercy, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation." He's saying, "I just assume you'll be with me, watching over me, taking care of me, leading me all along the way." And this is a safe assumption because God has promised that He will always be with us, believers. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." These words, "I will never leave you or forsake you," are almost impossible to reproduce in the English with the emphasis that's in the original Greek. There's no less than 5 negatives are used to increase the strength of the negation here. Perhaps the nearest approximation is to render it this way: "I will never, no, never leave thee, nor ever forsake thee." Very strong words. God saying, listen, it doesn't matter if you feel like He's not there. He's there. And we have to quit basing our lives on feelings and start grounding them on the Word of God. You know, today, almost 5 weeks after the election, who the president is still undecided. Florida has declared Bush as the winner, but there are still a lot of matters to be settled in the courts, and the courts are bouncing this thing back and forth and all around. But in the meantime, the Bush camp has said basically, we're going to assume that we have won and continue preparing to serve as the next president of the United States. You know, there's no telling how all this is really going to work out. But the worst mistake George Bush could make is to do nothing while this mess is being bounced back and forth from Tallahassee to Washington, D.C. And what I'm saying is this: regardless of how you feel, assume God's presence in your life and do what you know you should be doing. Assume His presence. Assume His love. Assume His mercy. Assume His guidance. Assume His protection. And do what you know you should be doing. This is how you, in David's words, trust in His loving kindness. This means we continue the habit of spending time with God, reading His Word and praying, whether we feel like it or not. This means we come to church, whether we feel like it or not. We give, whether we feel like it or not. We share Christ with others, whether we feel like it or not. We serve, whether we feel like it or not. We return to Him and again throughout the day, whether we feel like it or not. You know, even when you don't feel God's presence in your life, He's there. And assuming His presence and doing what you should be doing anyway is going to strengthen your Christian life. This is how you put your trust in His unfailing love. It's a matter of saying, God, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to keep doing what I know I should be doing, because by faith, I know You're right here with me. You know, it's amazing how the Christian life is too often controlled by our emotions. I don't read because I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like going to church. Do you go to work? Or do you just stay home because you don't feel like going? You say, well, I go whether I feel like it or not. Why? Obviously, it's more important to you than your Christian life. We've got to stop being controlled by our emotions and start doing what we know is right. Secondly, we need to cling to what we know is true. David said, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I don't think David is talking about redemption here when he uses the word salvation. The Hebrew word used here for salvation is Yeshua. It has a broad range of meanings such as deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, health, help, and salvation. I think what David is saying here is, my heart shall rejoice in your deliverance, or my heart shall rejoice in your victory. When God seems far away, cling to what you know is true. Remind yourselves of the things that God has done for you, and then rejoice in them. You know, David had many victories to remember. Perhaps he thought about the time when he slew the lion with his bare hands by the help of God. Maybe he remembered that bear that he killed with his hands by God's help. Maybe his mind went back to Goliath and how he killed Goliath with God's help. And I think all of us, just like David, have experienced God's blessing in the past. Remember what He's done for you. Think of all the things you know to be true and offer them up to God. You might say, Lord, you've made such a difference in my life. You've provided for me. You've forgiven my sins. You've given me everlasting life. You've answered my prayers. And name them specifically. And as you remind yourself of these things and as you offer them up to God in prayer, you're going to find yourself being strengthened. Even though you don't feel God is there at the time, as you begin to recount all that He has done in your life, I think it will greatly encourage you. You don't have to pretend you feel something you don't really feel. God knows how you feel. You can be honest with Him. Search your heart for those things you know to be true and then cling to them. You know, when I feel like God is far away, I sometimes think about where my life would be had I not become a Christian. And based on where I was before I met Christ, what would my life have been like if I had followed its logical progression? It scares me to think of that. What kind of career would I have pursued? What kind of person would I have married? What kind of father would I have become? Every time I think these things through, I am overcome with gratitude for God's sovereign mercy in my life. Even when He seems far away, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He has made a huge difference in my life, and I cling to that and I thank Him for it. The third thing that will help you to trust in His faithfulness, no matter how you feel, is keep singing praises to God. You heard me say, you've heard Rich say, you heard Bill say, love is not a feeling. It's something you do. Most of you already know that. What we sometimes forget, though, is that praise or worship isn't a feeling either. It's something we do. Sometimes when your heart is joyful, you overflow with praise and you can't help but sing to God what you're feeling in your heart. And when that happens, it's wonderful. However, even during those times when your heart isn't so joyful, you should continue to worship Him. Even when He seems far away, we should continue to sing our praise to Him. That's what David did. As I've already pointed out, he begins this psalm by admitting that God seems far away. And then he ends by saying, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Notice that he's speaking in the past tense. He said, God has dealt bountifully with me. Had David's circumstances changed? No. Had Saul called off the bloodhounds and his bullies? No. Had David received a new shipment of arms? No, nothing changed. Nothing except his perspective. Suddenly he realized that God had not forgotten him and that he had not been abandoned. Even though his situation was the same, his attitude changed. Now David isn't saying that because he suddenly experienced an emotional turnaround, you know, in the time it took him to write six verses, is he did an emotional shift. He's suddenly back on top of the mountain. He's saying it because he understands that praise is an act of faith, not a feeling. He's saying, I will sing to the Lord regardless of how I feel. Now some people say, well, isn't it hypocritical to praise God when you don't feel close to God? Well, I guess it's hypocritical if you believe that you're supposed to praise God only when you feel good. But that's not what the Bible teaches. We're to praise Him all during the day regardless of how we feel. Our feelings will come and go, but our praise should be consistent. In fact, let me take this a step further. God knows how you feel. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows what your emotions are. He knows what you're feeling. And I think He is more pleased when we praise Him during those times when we don't feel so joyful inside. I think God receives greater glory, greater honor when we praise Him when we don't feel like it. Let me give you an example. Let's say you give your teenager a car. She or he would most likely be overcome with joy and say something along the lines of, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, Dad. You're the greatest dad in the world. Thank you. I love you. You're so great. And no doubt the words would be somewhat sincere, but suppose you got that same teenager up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning to help you clean the garage. And in the midst of the groggy grumpiness that teenagers have mastered as an art form, he or she would say, you know, Dad, I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I'm really glad that you're my father. Would those words carry more weight than the others? Yeah, they sure would. When you just give them something, you expect, well, of course they're going to be thankful, they're going to be grateful. But in the midst of a situation where they're not so happy, they're not so ecstatic, they stop and say, you know, I really love you. Thanks. How's that with God? In the midst of the times when we don't feel so great, when we don't feel so close to God, we're to praise Him. We're to thank Him for who He is, for what we know to be true. You know, it's easy to praise God when you're feeling giddy. Everything is wonderful. Your life is what you think perfect. But if you continue to praise Him, even when He seems to be far away, I think He is especially pleased. There's cycles to the Christian life. Over the course of time, our feelings go up, our feelings go down. There'll be times when you feel really close to God and times when you feel like He is far, far away. That's inevitable. But we don't have to be driven by our feelings. We can be driven by faith. Even during those times when God seems distant, we can experience the power of His presence in our daily life. Regardless of how you feel, tell God about your problems. Tell Him honestly. Ask Him for help. And trust in His faithfulness. And we trust in His faithfulness by continuing to do what you know you should be doing, no matter what you feel like. By clinging to what you know is true, regardless of how you feel. And by continuing to sing praise to God. I think this is what David meant when he said in verse 5 and 6, I have trusted in Your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Your deliverance. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. When Fanny Crosby was 6 years old, she was blinded by an instance of medical malpractice. And she lived more than 90 years. And she was no stranger to hardship. But during her life, she wrote more than 8,000 hymns. One of them says this, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to swell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. We're not talking about a life that is driven by a surface level of emotionalism. We're talking about a life that is driven by faith. And that's what living in the presence of God 24/7 really is. It's not a feeling we depend on. It's a faith that we live by. And if our faith is weak, it is because our time spent in God's presence is lacking. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're being pushed around by our emotions and not settled in faith, we need to continue to get in the Word of God to make it a consistent time to be in God's Word. You know, in the next couple of weeks, it's my intention. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, so you might not want to come back for a while. I'm going to hammer, as we come upon a new year, the fact that if you want to walk in victory, you better get in the Word. The key to the victorious Christian life is time spent in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about memorization, because I am committed to the fact that the more of the Word of God you memorize, the more you're going to walk in the presence of God. Because the Word is dwelling in your mind continually. As you go over that scripture you've memorized, you're thinking about God. You're thinking about His Word. It's going to make a world of difference in your life. You know, too often what's going through our thought life is totally worldly, and we are caught up and consumed by the world in which we live. We're called to be different. If you then be risen with Christ, Colossians says, set your mind on things above. It's time we start doing that as His people. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace. Lord, I thank You that even when we feel You're so distant, we know because of the promises of Your Word that You are always with us. Lord, thank You for that. And Father, I know that if we feel like You've forgotten us, it's because we have probably walked away. God, I pray You'd teach us what it is to abide in You. Teach us what it means to dwell in Your presence. And in those times when we feel like You are far away, Lord, help us to continue to do what we know is right. Trusting You, praising You, rejoicing in Your deliverance. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray as we end our service and have a time of fellowship that it truly would be fellowship. That we'd share your workings in our lives. We'd share our prayer requests. We'd share our needs. We'd share our lives with one another. That you would be glorified in this assembly. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for loving us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.